Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two ministers of God's economy who served together in China for nearly 20 years. Watchman Nee was imprisoned by the Chinese government in 1952 and remained there until his death in 1972. Following his imprisonment, Witness Lee carried on this ministry in Taiwan and eventually in America and ultimately around the world. He served the Lord for more than 70 years before going to be with Him in 1997. His major contribution was through a 21-year labor he called Life Study, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible. This program is based on those messages. Before we join today's show, we'd like to give you our website where you can find more programs just like this one. It's lsmradio.org. Again, lsmradio.org. Now, here's our show today. The Spirit, of course, is the third of the Godhead. It's also a major topic of the Bible, but it's known or referred to by many different titles. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, in the New Testament, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of reality, and of course, the Holy Spirit. So the question arises, why so many titles for the one Spirit? Surely God was not being careless, neither was He trying to confuse us. But rather, these titles convey significant revelation for us to be those who genuinely walk in and experience the Spirit in our daily lives. This is our focus on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. We have another wonderful message today that I think will illuminate one of the great features of Scripture. Brother Bob Danker is with us once again. Bob, I'm glad you could join us for our program today.
Chris, I'm very glad also.
Bob, we're looking at the aspects of what we have come to realize in these recent programs as the compound Spirit. And we're going to touch on a lot of the names or titles that are used in the Bible regarding the Spirit today. Though all believers accept that the Holy Spirit is the third of the Trinity, I think it's surprising to many people that this term or title really didn't appear in Scripture until Mary was first being visited by the Spirit for the conceiving of the Lord Jesus within her. Why was this the first time for the Holy Spirit to be so identified, Bob?
There are several verses in the Old Testament, in Psalm 51 and I believe in Isaiah 63. Some of the English translations of the Bible translate there the Holy Spirit. But actually in the Hebrew, a more literal translation would be the Spirit of your holiness.
Hmm.
So actually, you're right. In the Old Testament, technically, we don't have the title, the Holy Spirit, until we come to the New Testament. And the first time we see this divine title, the Holy Spirit, is at the very beginning of the New Testament in the Gospel of Matthew in the very first chapter. The title of the Holy Spirit indicates that this Spirit, who is called the Holy Spirit, has the divine nature, which is holy. So this Spirit, the Holy Spirit, includes the holy nature of God. So in the beginning of the New Testament, God was going to do something that He had never done before. He was going to make a man holy, not just holy in his position, but holy in his very nature, the same as God Himself. So in the beginning of the New Testament, what we see is the Holy Spirit coming to the Virgin Mary and conceiving in her a child. And this child, of course, is Jesus Christ. And this child was born from the human virgin, but because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, actually, he was holy in his nature. He had the very holy nature of God because the Holy Spirit was the one who conceived him in the womb of the human virgin. So he was, of course, a genuine human being with the human nature, like all of us, except without sin, of course. But he also was holy because he also had the holy nature of God. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, when Luke was writing his gospel, he called this child the holy thing. So what Mary gave birth to was a human child, but this child is called the Holy Thing because he was made holy in his very nature by the Holy Spirit.
Bob, this is a key point, really, in understanding Scripture in any kind of depth. All of these components, even of the various titles that God has used to be descriptive of even these elements in the Godhead, they're all meaningful. Holy Spirit, each component there is very meaningful. It's not just, a name, something that we would casually throw around, but holy because this really reflects God's holy nature in this Spirit, doesn't it?
Yes, every title of God or of the Spirit in the Bible has a real significance. And I want to point out that it is this Holy Spirit who made Jesus holy, and it is the same Holy Spirit who makes us holy. We are Christ's believers, and we have the same Spirit in us.
Well, Bob, we're going to look at some of the significant titles ascribed to the Spirit in the program today. I think this will be of much interest, and more than just interest, I think it will be illuminating, light-giving. Let's join Witness Lee.
In His creation was the Spirit of God. Then after creation, including man, God came in to contact man. Jehovah is a title used for God's contact with man. According to Exodus chapter 3, this divine title Jehovah refers to the triune God. So, now in God's relation with man, the Spirit is no more merely of God, but of Jehovah, of the Trinity. The Spirit of Jehovah is the Spirit of the element of the divine Trinity. Then in Samuel, then in the Kings, then in the Chronicles, then in the prophets' books, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit of Jehovah. Whenever in the Old Testament God came to contact people, He was the Spirit of Jehovah. So the Holy Spirit, such a divine title, was never used in the Old Testament until that day when the Spirit came to Mary to conceive the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit was used the first time. This simply means here the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jehovah is now something further. It's the Holy Spirit with God's holy nature to beget, to bring forth some human being in the nature of God, just as holy as God. This is all from Genesis 1 through the four Gospels. So, from John chapter 20, you have the Spirit of reality. You have the Spirit of Jesus. You have the Spirit of Christ. You have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You have the Spirit of life. You have the life-giving Spirit. And you have the Lord Spirit. And you have the Spirit of grace. You have the seven Spirit. And eventually, the Spirit.
Amen.
It's marvelous. After the Lord's resurrection, His word was fulfilled. I will pray that the Father will give you another comforter, and this one, another one, is just the Spirit of reality. When He came, He will not only abide with you, but also He will be in you. Then in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Then, on the day of resurrection, the Lord came back. He fulfilled His promise. He came back not in the form of a physical flesh. He came back in the form of a spirit, a breath, pneuma. And He breathed over them and said, "Receive ye the holy pneuma," the Spirit of reality. And this element is what is the reality of all the further elements.
Well, Bob, as has been pointed out here, there's an unmistakable progression in the various titles that are used for the Spirit in both the Old and the New Testaments. the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Holy Spirit that we talked about earlier, and many other titles for the Spirit in the New Testament. Can you give us a little summary of this progression?
Yes, Chris. It's very, very interesting when we go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. All the way from the first book to the last book, there's a definite progression in all the divine titles that are given to the Spirit of God. And of course, in Genesis, the very first chapter and the second verse is the first reference to the Spirit, and there the Spirit is called the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God indicates that the Spirit is just God Himself with divinity as His element. And of course, we know the Spirit of God is mentioned here in Genesis 1 in relation to God's creation. And after God created man on the sixth day, then God wanted to come to have some contact with this man. So when God begins to have contact with the man that He created, the title for the Spirit is changed. Instead of the Spirit of God, we have the Spirit of Jehovah. And based upon Exodus chapter 3, where Jehovah appears to Moses, and He told Moses, "I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." We know that Jehovah is the triune God. He is the Father as the God of Abraham, He is the Son as the God of Isaac, and He is the Spirit as the God of Jacob. So Jehovah is the triune God. So the Spirit of Jehovah is the Spirit of the triune God. Now, these two titles, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jehovah, are the only titles used in the Old Testament. But when we come to the New Testament, as we mentioned before, we have another title, the Holy Spirit. And then this Spirit made the man Jesus holy. So Jesus was a man who was holy in His nature. He was living on this earth, and then He died, and He resurrected. And before He died, then He was talking to His disciples, and He used another title of the Spirit of Truth, or the Spirit of Reality. This means that this Spirit is the reality of God, of Christ, of all the divine things. He is the reality of God. Then the Lord died, and then He rose from the dead. And then in the epistles, we can see more titles of the Spirit after Christ's death and resurrection. And this continues the progression. We see many titles of the Spirit. Actually, the most number of titles of the Spirit we can see after Christ rose from the dead. These titles include the Spirit of Jesus. Well, Jesus was a man. Of course, the Spirit of Jesus must include the humanity of Jesus. Well, in the beginning of the Bible, we have one title, the Spirit of God. This Spirit included only God in His divinity. But then, as we progress, we see that through the incarnation of God to become a man named Jesus, the Spirit of God picked up a human nature and became the Spirit of Jesus. And then we have another title in Romans 8, the Spirit of Christ. And this title denotes the one who was resurrected. This title has the element of Christ's resurrection. And so forth. We go on in the New Testament with many more titles, such as the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Life in Romans 8, the Life-Giving Spirit in 1 Corinthians 15, and so forth. All these titles refer to one Spirit who, through Christ's death and resurrection, has been compounded with many elements. And this is the all-inclusive Spirit who indwells us today.
Of course, that really sets the context in which we're talking about this very topic, and that is this picture from Exodus 30 of this very holy compound, the holy anointing oil, with the pure olive oil representing the Spirit of God, as we see in Genesis chapter 1, but all of these elements of Christ's living, His death, His crucifixion, resurrection, all added, compounded into this holy anointing oil. It's a tremendous picture of the Spirit that has so many titles, it takes so many to describe it.
Yes, Chris. Marvelous.
Let's go back to Witness Lee, Bob.
Today, when we see the Spirit, we all know this is the all-inclusive, compounded, processed Spirit. This is the Spirit of God, this Spirit of Jehovah, this is the Holy Spirit, this is the Spirit of reality, this Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Jesus Christ, Spirit of life, the life-giving Spirit, the Lord Spirit, seven Spirit. This is the, what spirit? The spirit. No wonder in Paul's writings, he used the spirit more times than the Holy Spirit, than the Spirit of God. Not only Paul used, Peter also used. Why Peter didn't say the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, but he said the sanctification of the Spirit. Paul used, Peter used, how about John? John also used. I must tell you, in the last book of John, Revelation, which is the last book of the entire Bible, you couldn't find the Holy Spirit. It only tells us the seven spirit and the spirit. In the first chapter, among the Trinity, is the seven spirit. Then from chapter 2, he says, what the Spirit says to the church. Then in chapter 14, verse 13, he says again, the Spirit says. Then the last chapter, that is the last time, don't forget, in the entire Bible, that mentions something of the Spirit of God. It says what? The Spirit and the Bride say. Now, the Spirit is the totality of the Triune God, becoming one with the church, who is now fully matured as the bride, the two are one. Hallelujah. Saints, up to the point, you all can see such a compound spirit is for God's building.
Bob, so many references to the Spirit in the Bible and these many titles that we've been talking about. Yet when we get to the last mention in Revelation 22, verse 17, you spoke about earlier the first mention in Genesis chapter 1. In the last chapter of the Bible now, and of course the last mention of anything in Scripture is always significant, we have the term just the Spirit. What does this indicate, Bob, about the work of the Spirit for the accomplishment of God's purpose, which is obviously the goal of such a book as Revelation?
Yes, Chris. The Spirit, who is mentioned, as you said, in the last chapter of the Bible, is the aggregate or the totality of all the titles of the Spirit which we have from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end. So this Spirit, who is simply called the Spirit, contains all the elements that are implied and indicated by the many titles of the Spirit that are used in the Bible. So through the incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection of Christ, this Spirit has picked up many wonderful elements. And these elements are indicated in all the titles of the Spirit that we see. Now, the work of this Spirit is to dispense into us all these elements that He contains or that He includes, and to make all these riches real in our experience, so that we will experience God's divinity, God's holy nature, the humanity of Jesus, the human living of Jesus, the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. Eventually, through the working of the Spirit, as Brother Lee pointed out, something wonderful is produced, and that something is called the Bride. Now, the Bride is just the church, which becomes the Bride by the working of the Spirit in all the believers. In Revelation 22:17, we see that the Spirit and the Bride are speaking together. They speak the same thing. That means they are absolutely one. The Bride is mingled with the Spirit, and the Spirit is mingled with the Bride. And this is the result of the working of the Spirit within the believers to carry out God's eternal purpose.
Bob, you made mention in our introduction today about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. We're going to come back to at least our father Abraham and a reference to him from the New Testament related very much to the Spirit that we're looking at today. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
God promised Abraham the Spirit. So the Spirit, there it doesn't say the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and so forth, only the Spirit. The Spirit was the unique blessing of the New Testament covenant or economy promised to Abraham by God. And that promise was a preaching. God preached the gospel to Abraham of the Spirit. The Spirit in the Bible, consummately, is the very consummation of the triune God. After being processed, becoming such an all-inclusive, compound, life-giving Spirit. So the Spirit is nothing less than the very triune God. But not merely the triune God. Triune God processed. Passing through a long process from incarnation to resurrection. And he entered into ascension. Now, he is this consummate Spirit. This is the blessing of the New Testament. And this is the blessing of God's economy. And this was the very gospel, the first time God preached to his chosen one, our father Abraham. As children of Abraham, we all must follow his step to enjoy the Spirit as the unique blessing of God's New Testament economy. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Bob, Galatians chapter 3 gives the account of the preaching of the gospel to Abraham. Verse 14 says, "In order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Christians usually think of the gospel, Bob, as believing in Christ for forgiveness of sins and all of the related benefits. But this verse links the promised blessing of the gospel to the receiving of the Spirit. How can we partake of this blessing today, Bob?
Well, Chris, this is what I would call one of the more delightful revelations in the Bible. The fact that when God came to Abraham in Genesis, and he said to Abraham, "I will make you a blessing, and in you and in your seed all the nations will be blessed," he was actually referring to the giving of the Spirit to all the believers. This is a delightful realization that this word that God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, according to Paul's writing, was the gospel. God was proclaiming the gospel, that he was going to bless all the nations. And of course, Abraham undoubtedly did not understand what God was talking about. But in Galatians 3, we have Paul's interpretation of this word we found in Genesis. And Paul says very clearly that the blessing of Abraham, who is given to all the nations, is just the Spirit. And the Spirit, as we see, is the all-inclusive compound Spirit of the triune God. And this Spirit is the greatest blessing in the universe. I mean, when we think about blessings, we normally think about material things or that material benefit. But actually, the real blessing that God wants to give every human being is just the Spirit, the all-inclusive compound Spirit of the triune God, to be our life, to be our everything, so that we could enjoy him and we could become one with him, ultimately to be his bride, to be the wife of this wonderful Spirit. The way to receive this blessing is just to open up our heart and to thank the Lord.
Bob, it's very clear from this view of the compound Spirit, as we've been calling it, and we realize that's a new term to most people, but yet the reality of it is not new. It's really embedded in all of these marvelous passages of Scripture that have been pulled together in this ministry. But really, when we touch the Spirit, which is referred to as the third of the Godhead, God is triune, we're not touching one-third of God, are we? We're touching the whole triune God.
Yes.
This is a marvelous realization when we consider this picture of the compound Spirit, the compound ointment.
Yes, Chris. Included in the Spirit is the Father and the Son. So when we have the Spirit, we have all three.
Well, I appreciate that you left us with a very experiential appreciation and application of the Spirit, and not just one that's theological. And I realize we've touched a big theological issue here today, but we'll save further discussion of that for another program. Thank you for being with us.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wild. Thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee ministered the Word of God for over 7 decades. Many consider these life studies as his seminal work, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible from the perspective of the believer's enjoyment and experience of God's divine life in Christ through the Spirit. If you'd like to find more about Witness Lee, these life study messages, or any of the materials provided by Living Stream Ministry, please visit our website, lsm.org. That's lsm.org. You can also email us, radio@lsm.org, or call us toll-free, 1-888-LIFESTUDY. Thanks for listening today.